Hello, my name is Diego Vega and I am a program manager in the Entity Framework team at Microsoft. I'm going to present you the Entity Data Source. This is a data source control for ASP.NET that we have been working on. And the idea is to give you a very easy out-of-the-box experience in developing ASP.NET applications with Entity Framework. So to focus on the data source itself, I'm going to start with the model and with the blank default page. And I will start dragging and dropping some data on controls here. So here I will start with the grid. And to configure this grid, I will create a new data source. Now the entity data source shows here. It's a new option and I can show categories from the NordWing database. So now I will choose a connection that I already have configured in the web config, the default container name for the entity data model, and I will choose the categories entity set here. I will return whole entities. I will not select an entity type filter because categories actually returns only entities of type category. And I will enable updates. Then I will also enable some properties here in the data on control so that I have paging, sorting, etc. And I will also tweak this a little bit so that the selected row actually shows. And then I start the application. And this already works. I can do edits. And I can sort on columns. Then I will start adding some more controls so I can do a master detail form. So here is my second grid. I'm going to configure it using a new data source and I'm going to show products. So now I will use the same connection, same default container name. And I will start with the product's entity set name. Again, no filter, no need for it. I will return whole entities and I will also, in this case, enable updates. So now I want to enable some additional properties in the data on control. And I also need to filter the contents of the second grid based on the selected row in the first grid. So I will create a parameter here. Best way is using markup. Always faster. So now a control parameter, I need the control ID. That is the name of the control that I am using to filter. In this case, it will be grid view 1. And also the name of the property on this entity that I am using to filter. In this case, the product entity will have a category navigation property that points to a category, and that category has a category ID. Oops. So now I need a where clause to do the actual filtering and to, well, I need to close this also. And to get that clause, I will use this auto-generate where clause property that will just read through the where parameters and it will just create the clause for you. So now it should just work. Okay, so I select the first category and I find here the filtered products for that category. I will show you also two special properties here that have dots in their name. Those are flattened properties, are not actually normal properties on the entity, but we added them for data binding so that you can actually change, in this case, the key for a related entity, for category and for subgroup. So to make this better, because I am actually doing a master detail based on category, I don't need to show this column, and I can make this column more useful. I will show you how. So I will just remove this. And now I prefer to use the column editor to turn Subclear into a template field. And now I'm going to edit the template. So here I have two templates, actually the item template, that is the one that is used in read-only mode, and the edit item template that is used when I'm doing updates. So I'm going to change the default data binding for this. First, because it's read-only, I actually don't need bind. I can use eval, that is a little bit simpler. And I need to remove the square brackets that are put there by default. And I also want to actually show not the key, but the company name for the Zapier. So now in the other version of the template, I actually want to replace this with the drop-down, and I need to configure a new data source to just fill the list, and I'm going to create it, same name connection, but I'm going to choose the Zapier's entity set. And then, because I am only going to show this, I can actually take only the two columns I am going to use. And here I'm going to select the company name to be displayed. And still I need to change the data binding. So I copied this expression. I will just remove the square brackets. So now I'm going to show you that this almost works. The only problem being that this column is empty. This is because the supplier company name is not loaded. It belongs in an entity that wasn't loaded because I am just querying on products. And to load it explicitly, what I need to do is to add the include property and tell OK, load me all the entities that come from this navigation property. In this case is Zapier. And now it should work. As you can see, I have the company name here. And I can even edit the row and it will show this drop down. I can select a different value and update. Okay, so now if I try to sort on this column, it's going to use actually the key and not the description that I am showing. So I want to tweak it a little bit more. So in this case, we support different sort expressions. We support normal properties, also flattened properties, and as an alternative, we support eSQL or entity SQL fragments. In this case, it.supplier.company name is the expression I want to sort on. So now when I click here, this sorts alphabetically. And that's it. So now the other thing I wanted to show you is that the entity data source supports the usual events. So I have okay, here are the events of the data source. I have pre-process and post-process events for deletes, inserts, updates, and for queries. And I also have this event and those events for to control the lifecycle of the object context that the data source uses to do the queries. So that's it, and I hope you will have a chance to play with the entity data source very soon. Thank you.